Hi, y'all. You'll see me every time on Tuesday night. I'm Caitlin Clark. I played volleyball here at Wake, and I graduated in spring. But I want to start my talk tonight by just saying that I'm not, like, qualified at all to be up here. I'm a fallen, broken person living in a fallen and broken world, and just like everyone else, I struggle a lot. Like, I'm not perfect, and yeah, I still struggle quite a bit. But the reason I'm up here is because God's given me a unique story to tell, just like he's giving a unique story to each of y'all. And through my story, I hope to just share a few truths that God's been revealing to me over the past 22 years. So I'm actually going to start with my first year of life. So I was born February 12, 1998, along with my twin brother, Christian, who beat me into this world by 9 minutes. I'm not still mad, just a little bit. But and although on the outside we looked pretty healthy, both of us, there was something just internally really wrong with baby number two, me. So at 2 months old, I was diagnosed with biliary atresia, which is a rare fatal liver disorder that would eventually require me to have a liver transplant at just 8 months old. So the whole story of my transplant and the months leading up to it are filled with just so many moments where God's hand is so evident and clear. Like hearing my parents tell the story, it's crazy. But there are three instances that just really blow my mind when I see just God's providence in the whole situation. So first was that on the exact same day as my diagnosis, I think it was April 13th, my dad, who's a lawyer, got put on this case, which it was between the Clinton administration and the National Organ Procurement Agency. But anyways, this case gave him access to every transplant surgeon in the country. He would literally call them and they would pick up. And it led to him being able to research, contact doctors specifically, and find just the best treatment for his little daughter. And second cool thing was that I was put on the transplant list on Friday, October 9th, received the liver that Saturday, and was transplanted on Sunday, October 11th. 3 days. It only took 3 days for me to be put on the list and to receive a transplant. And you know what the typical average wait time is for an infant to receive a liver? 3 months. So that just blows my mind as well. And then the third thing, which is kind of my favorite thing to tell people, is that the Saturday that we were notified that I'd received a liver, it was my parents' wedding anniversary, October 10th. Like, talk about a pretty good anniversary gift. And so now the reason I'm telling you this story of my transplant is because I want y'all to first just see kind of what God did in my first year of life. He not only saved me from dying, he also worked through me, just a baby, to test and strengthen my parents' faith. Whenever we talk about this time, I can just feel the emotion in my parents' words. I can't imagine what it must have been like for them to go through what they did, seeing their new daughter face what seemed like imminent death. But they'll tell you themselves that it was during this time of so many tears and so much uncertainty that they felt God's certain and sustaining presence most clearly. And the reason the point I'm making with that is God can use you at any age and stage of life you're in. Doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter how old you are. I was a baby, I was a newborn, and he used me as a vessel for his work to touch the lives of my parents. And you might not even be aware of how he's using you, but he is. And second, I tell you this story because it's a great picture of the gospel. I was born broken with something innately wrong with me. I was unable to save myself from a fatal diagnosis. But then by God's grace and greater plan, another life was given so that I could live. And you know what else? I had to accept that gift and internalize it so that I could do it. It could do its life-giving work in me. And finally, I tell you the story because for the longest time, I took this story of my transplant to be my testimony, the story of how I came to be a Christian, how I came to faith. But looking back, I can tell you that that's not the case. My transplant is a story of God's hand being upon me and my family early in my life, but then is where he saved me physically, but it wasn't until years later that I was actually saved eternally. So now I'm going to give you a summary of my life between the ages of 1 and 18, which many of y'all might be able to relate to a bit. So I was blessed with an amazing family. I have two loving parents and two brothers whose love and support I can't even put into words. My parents instilled in us good Christian values. We were involved in church, in youth group, and we attended Christian schools from preschool all the way to high school. And all this led to me having an immense knowledge of God, of Jesus, of the Bible, which I'm so grateful for because it gave me a solid foundation to fall back on when things got tough, which we'll get to later. But during this time, I saw Christianity as a religion I had to do rather than a relationship with Christ that I was invited to embrace. And in high school, I even had the opportunity to really embrace and grasp this relationship with Christ and make my faith my own. But instead, I got caught up in the things that turned me away from Christ and more towards myself and towards others. So I'm sure a lot of y'all can relate to this. I was good at sports in high school, kind of what got me awake. And I was pretty good at academics as well. And so I received a lot of praise and recognition for those things. And that led me to looking to others for acceptance and approval. I felt like I had to keep up this facade of being perfect just to be deemed worthy of their love and praise, I guess. And then also, I just got comfortable where I was. And I felt like I didn't need a savior. I had it all under control, and honestly, I felt like I was thriving. So to sum up my faith during these 18 years, I would say I intellectually knew who Jesus was, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him. I had all this head knowledge, but I hadn't turned it into heart knowledge. And honestly, I don't think I was saved until college when I experienced and accepted God's saving grace. So college. Y'all are probably experiencing college is tough. It's really hard, especially for me, at least freshman year. It was really difficult. I left my loving family, my twin brother, who was my best friend as well. And I just felt immediately just lost and lonely. And as a freshman playing on a college team, which y'all probably all experienced too, I didn't have the praise and approval of others that I craved and got in high school. So I often felt unloved and unaccepted. But during my freshman fall, I will say I did get involved in Athletes in Action, where I did feel loved, did feel accepted, not for what I did, but for who I was. So during my first semester of college, I had a lot of things taken away and some things somewhat restored through the community of Athletes in Action. But the one thing I still held onto so tightly was control. And it was because this control gave me a temporary sense of peace and comfort. And I can tell you, I held on to that so tightly until it absolutely wrecked me in the form of an eating disorder. So in the first half of my spring semester, I restricted what I ate, over-exercised to the point where I lost between 25 and 30 pounds in the span of about 3 months. That's not good. It's scary. And not only that, but I also ended up getting 2 concussions because my body just had no way of protecting itself. And what I would find out later from a specialist was that the disorder did some damage on my heart, which is really scary to hear. And so I was in a dark place. And the worst thing about it was that I didn't know where I was. I was blind to what was happening and to what I was really doing to myself. But one day, about halfway through spring semester, God just opened my eyes. I don't remember what date it was exactly, but I do remember it was Monday because it was an off day from volleyball. So I just gotten back from working out on my own a little too much. And I got back to my dorm in Badcock. I looked in the mirror, I started changing, and I could just see my collarbone, like so clearly and vividly. And it scared me, and I started crying, and I just fell to my knees. And in that moment, I realized that my attempt to control my life only resulted in emptiness and self-destruction. Honestly, I realized what a lack in control I really had. So in that moment, I just asked Christ to take control of my life. I accepted him in rather than holding him at an arm's length. And from then on, God began to transform my heart. I wanted to get better. I wanted to be physically healthy. I wanted to be free of this controlling, critical voice that I knew wasn't from God. And this change in attitude, which came from my relationship and walk with the Lord, eventually led to a change in my mind and body, but it wasn't easy, it wasn't immediate, and it definitely was not on my own timeline. Despite this new relationship with the Lord, and I even got baptized spring freshman year, I continued to struggle in the summer and fall of my sophomore year. losing more weight and further doing damage on my heart. So that's just a little reminder that just because you have a relationship with Christ doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. And so flash forward to my sophomore spring, God spoke through some other people and actually had me take my sophomore spring semester off from school and from volleyball. And I went into an inpatient treatment facility for about 2 months in St. Louis, Missouri. And it was there that God healed my body and began to heal my mind. And this healing of my mind would just continue to happen as I grew in my relationship with the Lord. And so ever since Christ saved me from myself freshman year, I've been trying to walk in close relationship with him. Hasn't been easy. There's been a lot of trip ups, slip ups, but I like to think that I'm stumbling forward, continuing to walk with him. And I can say just from experience that things make sense when you're walking in the light of Christ. Through Christ, I see the world, myself, and others more clearly as God designed them to be seen. And then also knowing how God designed us, how God designed the world, I can point out when there's brokenness. I can point out when it's broken, what's a result of sin, and I just trust God's sovereignty in that as well, because he can take broken pieces and make something beautiful. And then finally, I found freedom in my life, in my sport, in school, in my relationships. I learned to enjoy these things as gifts from God rather than as opportunities where I had to prove my worth. And one other thing I want you to take away from my story is that God has a heart for healing and restoration. I experienced this deeply during my first few years of college, but I still experience it daily as I walk with him as well. And God's heart for healing and restoration can be seen throughout the Bible, and especially most clearly in Christ. So I'm gonna bring up a verse here, Ephesians 2:8-9, which some of y'all might have heard, but it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." And I bring up this verse because for so long, I used this as my life verse in high school. And I used it because I applied it to my transplant, thinking that this gift that God gave me was a liver. You know, he worked through the faith of others who prayed for me and helped me out, my parents' faith. I plucked out words and just applied that to my story. But this verse isn't talking about physical salvation, but a spiritual, eternal salvation through Christ. And the previous verses in this chapter reveal what the saving gift of grace is, and it's Jesus Christ. And more specifically, it's the gift of eternal life wrapped in the packaging, which is the person of Christ. Now, what is the way we receive this gift? And this is what I got for so long. I got this wrong for so long. We don't receive this gift of eternal life through works, but through faith. So I'm going to tell you what faith is not. It's not something you can inherit from your parents. It's not something you have based on knowledge or education alone. It's not something you can have just because you go to church and read your Bible. And it's not something you have just because you hang out with other people who call themselves Christians. The faith being talked about here is not passive, but active trust. Faith is the human response to God's primary act of love that he showed in his son. It's not just a matter of logical connections, but of living experience. And it's not a matter of what you have, but something you do daily. It's deliberately deciding to let Christ have control in every circumstance. And I like to bring up the metaphor that Vinny mentioned a while back, the metaphor of a bridge. So you're deciding whether or not you want to drive across a bridge. You can know everything about that bridge. You can know who built it, when it was built, what materials made it. You can even ask other people. It's like, did that bridge hold you up when you crossed? And you're like, yeah, it did. Okay, I trust that that bridge will hold me up if I drive over it. But you don't actually show that you have faith in that bridge until you cross over yourself. And the bridge I'm talking about when it comes to faith is crossing the cross of Christ. Putting your faith in Christ is about actively trusting in him, believing for yourself what he's done for you in his death on the cross, how he bore his sins and your brokenness, dying in your place so that you can have eternal life by trusting in him. It's a personal relationship that you choose to accept and pursue for yourself. So just a few questions I want to leave y'all with that I had to ask myself in coming up with this talk, honestly. But what is your unique story? Where has God been evident in your life? Or maybe where did he show up and you didn't realize it until now? And I just encourage y'all to praise and thank him for that. And then second, do you have just an intellectual knowledge of Christ or a personal relationship with him? And trust me, there's a beautiful change that happens when you make that switch from head knowledge to heart knowledge. And then finally, what's maybe holding you back from actively trusting Christ in every situation? Is it a desire for control, like what I had? Is it a fear of uncertainty? Is it a frustration with the circumstance that you're in, such as COVID? And how can you let that go and just give it up to God? So that's my story. And thank you all for listening. If y'all have any more questions about it or want to just kind of get to know it even more, reach out to me, and I'd love to just share that with y'all and talk about it.